Now, I don't know whether you've ever been passionate or desperate enough to shout when you looked a fool. You can imagine them saying, sit down, stop making a show of yourself. That's the sort of thing my mum would have said to us if we'd have started showing off or being like that. And I don't know if you've ever been that desperate. Just have a think for a minute. When you were prepared to stand out and shout. Now, I can remember being a teenager, and you know you're embarrassed about everything as a teenager, particularly your parents, aren't you? And somebody I worked with said to me, that's the job of a parent, to embarrass their children. So you're doing a good job. And I think we often embarrassed ours. You know, when they said things to you like, come and collect me from the party, but don't come in. Don't knock at the door. Don't let anyone see you, basically. And those sorts of things. Well, I was a teenager once, and I can remember having a conversation with some friends, and we were talking about somebody who was knocked over, and their leg was broken. And that was a terrible thing, but all we could think of was the shame of it, the shame of lying in the road with a broken leg. Can you believe it? You'd be so embarrassed. Nothing to do about the broken leg or the pain that you'd be in, just about how embarrassing it was. Now, I don't easily get embarrassed anymore, and it's mainly because I've been embarrassed so many times. And my family and very close friends could probably tell you quite a few stories. And I'm just going to tell you one of a time when I took Mark's mum out. She was very poorly at the time. And we went to Dobby's for our lunch, and she had a hospital appointment. And it was teeming with rain. So I parked in the car park, I got her a wheelchair, we went into Dobby's, we had lunch, it was really nice. Stayed longer than we should, ran out in the teams of rain, hood up, put her in my car, had to run back with the wheelchair, ran back, jumped in the car, put my key in, and nothing happened. I was, oh no, we're already late, so I'm like, what's going on? And I turned to Mark's mum to say, I don't know what's happening, to find it wasn't Mark's mum. It was probably a really nice, alarmed old lady who was looking at me like, and I said, I think I'm in the wrong car. Don't worry. I'm going to get out. And as I looked past this old lady, I realized that in the car next to us was Mark's mum going, why is my daughter-in-law in that other car running off with another old lady? So I got out of the car and I just got into my car and I said, I got in the wrong car. She said, nothing. And we got to the hospital. So for little things like that, I don't get embarrassed very much anymore. So anything that you tell me doesn't really embarrass me because you have to go a long way to compare with me. But I'm not really about shouting if I need help. But there was one occasion when my middle son, Sam, he'd been studying in, where was it? No. Bucharest. Where's Bucharest? Romania. He was in Romania. And it was the carol service here. And he was coming home that night to Manchester Airport. And we were on tea at the carol service. And I told everybody, he's coming home tonight. We're going to pick him up. After the carol service, I'm going to pick him up. And we went, and as we went, it snowed, and it got thicker and thicker and thicker until we got to Manchester Airport, and they said, there's no planes, they're not landing. Well, I was bereft, I can't tell you. They said, come back tomorrow. And we came back tomorrow, and we said, well, where is he? And we know now what had happened, why we couldn't get in touch with him, because he'd given his phone away to somebody in the airport who needed a phone, which was really nice on one hand. But we didn't know where he was. We didn't know what had happened. So I'm now sobbing in this airport, and it is chaos. The airport is full of people running around. And so, but this is my son who's lost. And I am going to shout at this point. So I decided to go and hunt for somebody who looked in authority. And I was practically grabbing onto this lady's coattails, following her, saying, but my son's lost. I don't know where he is. I don't know. His plane's taken off. I don't know where the plane is. We've got no records. Can you please help me? So she said, what's happened? Because I was crying, and I said, my son's plane took off from Romania, and I don't know where he is, and I've got, you know, I'm beside myself. She said, come into the office, come in. And I thought, oh, this must be God, you know, because this whole melee of people trying to find out things, but this lady has been really nice to me. And she said, okay, right, well, and she got on her computer, and she said, okay, well, it went to Germany. I was like, oh, no. Oh. So she said, right, okay, well, listen, I'm going to try and track your son. How old is he? So I said, 21. She went, right. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to go outside now. And she obviously thought he was about 10 or something. But, you know, I was prepared to kick off for my son. And like Bartimaeus, you know, we were going to kick off for the things that matter to us. We were going to shout. We were going to stop, even when people say, you know, stop. Rebuked him. Be quiet. But he shouted all the more. And what did he shout? He shouted, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I think this was the arresting bit for Jesus. Son of David was the Messiah. And Bartimaeus knew. Now, he was a beggar. He was sitting there. He was blind. How could he know? Well, they'd be gossiping, wouldn't they? They'd be talking about this man, Jesus, and what he'd been doing and what he'd been saying. And Bartimaeus, maybe in his blindness, we know he hadn't always been blind, because in some versions it talks about his sight being restored. He probably chatted, he probably thought, you know, these things that we're hearing about Jesus, what he says, he cares for the poor, he heals people, he drives out demons, he raises the dead. You know, is this normal? So Bartimaeus was shouting, Son of David, and it arrested Jesus. He said, your faith has healed you. He knew who he was. And when I was preparing for this, I had the word context, which is on your notice sheet today. And I was saying, context, what's that about? Context, where'd that come from? And I thought, oh, I know. It's about healing. This passage is about healing. So it must be about healing in the time of Jesus. So healing in the context of Jesus' time, healing in the context of the disciples' time, and healing in the context of our time. Oh, yeah, that sounds good, little talk. But it wasn't that. The context is the kingdom of God. And it's Jesus in the context of the kingdom of God. It's the disciples in the context of the kingdom of God. And it's us in the context of the kingdom of God is what I just briefly want to look at today. Could you put up the red slide, please? Ah, that's it. Look, they're on it because they know what I'm like. We must ground our work in a rich understanding of the context of use, or else we run the risk of creating well-meaning rubbish. And I liked that. And you know, I don't know if you can listen to me and think about that at the same time, girls. but that's by a guy called Ian Barker, and it was to do with company law and things like that he was talking about. But I took this because I thought, you know, what we do here, And all the things we do, day by day, week by week, it's not well-meaning rubbish. It is well-meaning. But without it being the context of God, we're doing good works. That's great. That's great. But you know what? There's loads of people doing good works. We get the privilege of working with other people in this community. We've become part of, there's a lady called Deirdre, and Deirdre's job with the council is to deal with isolation and loneliness. And she basically has gone round looking for people who are helping isolation and loneliness. She loves us. She thinks we're doing an amazing job. She's trying to get us funds and things like that. But they don't always want to give them to faith groups is our problem. But Deirdre loves us, so she's got us on this part of a group where we work with the doctor's surgery, the U3A, the allotments, and we all sit round the table and say what we're doing and what we're offering. And it's drawing people in. People are impressed by what we're doing. But they're doing good things. They're doing good things. But our context is the kingdom of God. And we need to have that front and central of everything we do. Everything we do here. Because when people come in and they say, do you know what? I love this building. This building is lovely. We had, a week ago, we had a group of teachers, and they were in our building next door, and they were having a day's conference. And Eva had said to them, you know, bring your lunch over here, have a cup of tea in this part of the building. And some of them did. And there was a man there who I didn't know. He looked like a head teacher, because I know what they look like. And he looked like one of those. And he had a few people with him. And they were having lunch together. And I was pouring tea. And he said, come and see the big hall. You haven't seen the big hall yet. And I was watching him getting up. And he was bringing them over here. And he was saying, look at that, look at that. And what they're doing there is... And he was telling them all that. And I was just thinking... Would you like to advertise for us? And over here is, and they have upstairs as well. And I was thinking, who are you? You know, because you know so much about us. He'd been a dad who came to peep. And he was so impressed with everything that was going on. I thought, why don't you write something for us? It was amazing. People are seeing what we're doing. But they need to see why we do it. What's the engine that drives us? When Jesus went about, he was demonstrating the kingdom of God. He was doing that because he was doing it with power. And I've been reading Acts 10:38 this week, an amazing passage that says God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And he went around doing good and healing people. Jesus was demonstrating the kingdom of God. Heaven had broken through. And he was demonstrating on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he was doing in power. Now, we can look at him healing Bartimaeus, raising people from the dead and say, well, that was Jesus, wasn't it? He was God, after all, fully God. But he was doing this as fully human. Because if he was doing it as God, we become an audience. We become people who cheer on and go, amazing, that's wonderful. But if he does it as man, he does it so he shares it with us. How do we know he wants to do that? Well, if you have a look, he sent out the disciples. First of all, he sent out the 12. Then later on, he said, right, let's send out the 72. What did he send them out to do? He said, go out in power and authority. It was his power and authority. And he was sending them out. Because don't forget, we just read God had anointed him with the Holy Spirit. He sent them out. And he said, go and heal the sick and come back and tell me about it. And so they went out and they came back and they had a debrief. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone out and tried things. Don't forget, they were just trying. They'd been watching Jesus and he was said, okay, off you go and have a turn. And the way I've done that is, those of us who are teachers will have done teaching practice. And on teaching practice, you get to go and watch the teachers. And then they maybe give you a little bit to do in a lesson. And then eventually, you're writing plans for the lesson and you're teaching it and people are watching you and giving you feedback. And it's funny, when you start, it looks so easy. And when you sat at the back of the classroom, you know, I can remember being bored watching the teachers teach, thinking, actually, I could do better than that. I'll just make my shopping list. And so I'd make a shopping list. And then when we get back to college and say, what have you seen? What have you seen? Well, she did this maths lesson and I could have done it better. What she should have done was, because it's always easier, isn't it, to look. And I hope you're sitting there saying, you know what she should be saying now? She should be adding that bit. She should be adding that bit. I hope you're saying that because it shows that the Spirit of God is working in you and teaching you something. I've learned so much this week about Bartimaeus and about the things surrounding that, much more than I can tell you. But that's probably because I need to learn it. So that's fine, that's no problem. So we'd be in this teaching practice and we'd come back and we'd say, oh, and they did that and they should have done that and that. But then it's our turn to stand at the front. And it's all so different. It's all so much harder. And then people give you critique and say, you know, well, you should have done that, you should have done that. And you think, oh, yeah, I should. But it's learning and it's making a start. And you know, one of my delights of my teaching career, which is over now, thank you, Lord. but one of my delights was working with students, mostly, because sometimes they're a nightmare, but sometimes they gave you such joy when you would give them advice and say, how do you think that went? Oh, what about doing this? And, you know, they'd put it into practice and you'd go, yes, you know, you're flying. And a lot of the students I've had now are, you know, sort of well into their career and successful. Some are not, but some are. And it's people who will learn. People who will learn. I once had a student, and it, you know, when some people, when we talk about having a filter missing, and you just don't get it, and so there was a few things that I said to him, like, you know, maybe when you have a Coke can on your desk, it's not the best look. So could you not bring a Coke can into the classroom? Well, you have a cup of tea. Because in those days, you could have cups of tea. I said, I know, and I don't know why a Coke can looks so different, but it does to me. And this is my classroom. But, you know, maybe not do that. And when you're on duty, you know when the gate is open onto the busy road, could you make sure that's closed? I don't know why it's opened. Well, they need to know not to go through it, don't they? Yeah, but some of them are five. Well, I can't be responsible for looking at all the gates. And you know, when you think, Let's have an attitude of a learner. Let's think about what someone's saying to us, of teaching us. And so when the disciples had gone out and they came back to Jesus, and he probably said, how did you get on? And they went, whoa. It says they were full of joy. Why were they full of joy? They said, guess what? Even the demons obey us in your name. And what does it say about Jesus? It says, Jesus, full of joy in the Holy Spirit. We don't often hear, do we, Jesus, full of joy? But I love that, because we often go, Jesus wept. We all know that. But Jesus, full of joy. So he'd got his trainees, he'd got his students, he'd got his disciples. He saw how excited they were, and he went, yes, you're trying, you've started. And, you know, the context of that. Could you put the other context up, Dan, please? The kingdom of God is shown when God's nature is revealed. Stuart prayed, didn't he, about the goodness of God today. We sing that. We love that song. Do we believe that? He is good. He wants to do good things. And he wants to do them through us. How do we know? Well, we had Jesus in the context of the kingdom of God. Did he just do everything as God? No, he did it as a human. How do we know? Because he told his disciples, you go and have a try. You go and do it. Does he want to carry on with us? Yes. How do we know? Because the last thing he said to his disciples that's recorded in Matthew 28, which we all love to quote, don't we? Is go into the world and make disciples of nations, not individuals. Go to nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. We're not just about decisions. We're not about, you know, have you prayed a prayer asking Jesus into your heart? Good. That's the beginning. This might be your day. It's the beginning of a new life. It's the beginning of doing life with somebody who loves you, who's never going to leave you, never going to let you down, and always be on your side. But he is in charge, and he expects to be obeyed. It's not easy. It's not easy to obey everything, is it? Because what does he say to his disciples to do? He says, the kingdom of heaven has come near. So, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is our time. This is our time to join in. This is our privilege to join in with the kingdom of God, which we have to speak and we have to do. And we're doing so much. We are doing so much here. In terms of showing the kingdom of God, we have made a start. We've been revealing the nature of God in this place. And we've been doing it since the beginning. And if I just run through some of the things that we're actually doing here, I'm probably might leave something out. Peep, Who Let the Dads Out, Coffee Morning Plus, Sunday Services, Craft and Chat, Mind Your Head, the Advance Group, Getting Ready to Share the Gospel, Lunch at the Centre, Hub, Ladies Breakfast, Circuits, Family Fit, and even doing the hampers. Isn't it fun getting these hampers ready? We invite people in. We want them to belong. This is a place to belong. We mean that. But we've made a start in power. You know, we're praying, Lord, speak to us for everybody. We've prayed for people to be healed. We have seen some things of that. Just give me a quick show of hands. Who's been touched either by a word that's been spoken or being prayed for healing? Who's been touched by that over the past? Wow. Wow, thank you. That encourages me, and it encourages people who are willing to step out and say, I think I have a word. Well, where's your word from? Have you made it up? Maybe. Is your word from God, or is it your head? Well, I don't know, but I'll just have a go anyway. I'll just have a go. I'll be Bartimaeus, and I will shout. And just in closing today, I just want to, it's just a question really. How hungry are you to see the kingdom of God? How hungry are you to see it break through, that we see more healings? You know, I don't want to read and continue to look at YouTube to be encouraged by testimonies of people who are healed, who are being transformed by the power of God in their lives. I want to see it here. I am jealous for that. And I am not content to sit and just watch the telly. I want it here. But we need to stand together. You know, Stuart and Mark talked about finance. I have no worry about God providing for us to give. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to bless us, that we bless the church, that we keep these things going. I have no doubt about that. Watch your bank balances. Watch what happens. You know, we've obviously known about this a few weeks earlier than you, about the problem with the money. I've got a tax rebate. Who knew? Oh, well, you'd get there anyway, wouldn't you? Whether we needed money or not. Yes, we would. But you know who's getting the glory? God. Whether it's the tax man or whether who it is, God looks after me and he will always get the glory. How is your appetite? Do you want the kingdom of God to be shown in your life? Are you willing to shout for it? Are you willing to be said, sit down, stop making a show of yourself? You know, I started sitting at the front because I didn't want to see anybody else, because I was worried that if I sat at the back, I wouldn't raise my hand in worship because I'd be worried about what everyone thought of me. But if I'm at the front, I don't know who's here. So it's only the worship team who've got to put up with me as far as I can see, because I can only see them, so they can only see me. Can I just ask us, maybe just close our eyes for a minute. Maybe just have a think. You know, what is our appetite like? Are we willing to shout for the kingdom to be shown through us? That might mean speaking when it's hard. I know how hard that is. That might mean saying to somebody, when you feel their pain in booths and they tell you something painful, that you just stop and say, can I just say a prayer for you? And you do it then. The kingdom of God comes in through us. And I'm just going to pray for us today, but I'm going to ask you that if that is you today, if you want that, I would ask to ask you just to stand, and I'm going to pray for us. So can you stand with me if that's you? And we're all going to pray that the kingdom would come in through us. Thank you. Or maybe just stretch out our hands and just... Father God, thank you that when you anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, that you opened heaven to be heaven on earth. Thank you that you use the disciples so that even Peter, who made a start with Jesus, that when he walked down the street, people put their sick folk out to have his shadow fall on them, that they might be healed through them. That's where he finished. Lord, we pray that the kingdom of God would be shown through us. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit for the tasks this week. We ask that where our feet goes, where our hands go, that you would show us who to pray for, who to speak to, and that your kingdom would be shown through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.